Corinthians chapter 6, first part of it, verse 1 through 10. There are some things here that I think will be certainly encouraging to us, and it will be an admonition to us and lay upon us a tremendous responsibility. Remember, this letter is dealing with the people that have been persuaded that they need to be circumcised or come under the law. Paul has dealt with that quite extensively and pointed out that certainly we were to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Verse 1 on through verse 10 of chapter 6, he gives us some instruction and direction that I'm afraid today we don't heed as often as well. He said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Well, we did remember and learn in chapter 5 that we were not to be moved away from our liberty in Jesus Christ. We in turn are not to use that liberty as an occasion to the flesh. He then enumerated the works of the flesh, and we'll not deal with them again. To avoid fulfilling the desires of the flesh, he admonishes us to walk in the Spirit. And now in verse 1 of chapter 6, he picks up a thought that is certainly very important, yet oftentimes overlooked. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The erring brother." Now, this is not one that has just a track record and a life history of rebellion and waywardness. You'll find that kind of person along as you experience the Christian walk. And if you happen to be in the workplaces especially, you'll find somebody that will make some pretense of being a Christian, but their life is depictive of anything but that. And we're not dealing with that, because that gets into the realm even of apostasy, total falling away from truth, and they have misunderstood the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ. But we're dealing with now one that has been overtaken in a moment of weakness. And I realize that there will always be those that will say, "Well, they just ought not do that." Well, certainly that's true. They ought not, and we ought not. But the tragedy is that we often find ourselves in this place, in our lives, and especially among the children of God and those that are very near and dear to us. We'll catch one now and then that will be overtaken momentarily in a fault or in a sin such as might grip that person and turn them away from the straight walk that is before them. Now, the case before us is a case of supposition. He's not giving us anybody in particular in mind, and I'm not giving anybody in particular in mind, because Paul did not, but there was a preacher said years ago, and it struck me as very serious. He said that the Christian army is the only one that he knew of that would kill its wounded. And you think about that for a moment. We have a responsibility, ye which are spiritual. Well, that puts us into a case then. If we count ourselves in fellowship with God today, we are obligated to our God for the sake of others and a brother or sister in Christ to reach out with, if you please, an arm of love and an encouragement to them and do everything within our power to restore them to that place of fellowship. And it's for our own good as well as theirs, if you'll look carefully at this verse. Lest thou also be tempted. We catch somebody in a fault and we'll lift our nose a little bit and we'll raise our eyebrows and we'll stand in our pride and denounce them. But do you realize that the sin of pride is one of the most heinous sins that you'll find as it's described in the Word of God? So immediately we fall into the error ourselves and into great temptation. The erring brother. You see, that brother is important. That brother or that sister was important to Christ. Our Lord went to a cross and died for them. And so it behooves us then to take very seriously this admonition for our own spiritual well-being as well as theirs, to do something for them if we possibly can. The obligation of the spiritual is not to censure nor condemn. Rather, he is to restore the fallen. He is to consider his own subjection to temptation and must rightly evaluate himself and understand that were it not for the grace of God, there go I. That could be said of the world. It can be said of the fallen brother. And certainly it's true that we are capable of almost anything under a given set of circumstances in our lives. Tragically, today we still bear about in this body and the fleshly nature. I understand that there's those that believe that they someday will reach that plateau and they'll be just about this high off the ground and they'll never touch the ground again. But tragically, I have not arrived, and for the sake of this congregation, I haven't seen any of you that high tonight. So we see then we have a great obligation. And for the sake of our own souls, for the sake of that brother in Christ, you take them to heart. Remember that Christ died for them. And we very well might be in the other side of that situation ourselves, considering ourselves, lest we fall into a temptation as well. We are told to bear one another's burden in verse 2. And so fulfill the law of Christ. Bear you one another's burden. Now we'll see that it seems like almost a contradiction in a moment. But it's not. When he said everyone in verse 5 shall bear their own burden. We're dealing with the brother. Understanding that for some reason they've been overcome. And we bear that burden with them. We go to them. We share with them the truth of God's grace and encourage them. From our own standpoint, and if they are carrying a burden, at least do our best to share that burden that they are bearing. And then he said, it's a serious thing if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing. He deceiveth himself. Be careful, because we're made of the same stuff. If we trace our heritage far enough back, we'll find that we're all kin to the same forefather. And he sinned in the garden. And so we have a serious responsibility here. The obligation of the spiritual is to restore those who might be fallen, and fulfill the law of Christ, bear the other's burden and that have been led astray. Love them to restore them. Each, of course, then will answer for himself, and that's what he means when he comes to verse 5, that every man will bear his own burden or be responsible for himself, but on the other hand, we are obligated ourselves to bear the burden that we can for them. There is a responsibility now, and we'll leave that subject and go on to the next subject that is in the verses that we have, the responsibility to the ministers of the Word. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. If you have been privileged to learn something of this book, I'm not talking about necessarily having a formal college degree from a Bible college, but I'm talking about the sweet privilege of having the experience in your life that you have something that is beneficial to somebody. You are responsible for what you know and to give that out. And it would behoove a lot of preachers probably today in the pulpits to take it more seriously to share the Word of God that they have. Sometimes we guilty of this, I speak because I'm a preacher. We sometimes get a little bit lazy in what we do, and we just go along. And we're like the fellow who said, if they ever go to print and better messages, I'll preach better messages. That's not a good philosophy, by the way. We need to take seriously the fact that if we've been taught in the Word, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Give it to somebody that again can turn and give it to somebody else. There's some serious responsibility presented in this particular passage that we read. Now we have then before us God's unchanging law of sowing and reaping. Now there is this law. Whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, or wherever you might find it, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you plant potatoes, you'll reap potatoes. If you plant corn, you'll reap corn. If you plant or sow sin, you're going to reap repercussions that you'll not want to even think about. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then he said this, just continue on in the Word. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Isn't that a blessed thought that if we just sow, we'll just keep being consistent? Does this not remind you of what the Lord said? Any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, you'd have to be a little bit of a farmer and a kind of a guy that's kicked a few clods in his life to understand this. But when we're plowing, and we're talking about cultivating now, you've got the rows. You've got the middles, and you're plying actually the corn. You're running with sweeps that are anywhere from 6 to 8 inches wide, and there'd usually be about 3 that runs in each furrow. And if you move just a little to the right, to the right or to the left, you'll begin to cut down the grain or cut down corn. But if you'll keep your eye straight forward and you watch your business, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. There's a reward for you tonight. It's a promise of the Word of God. It's precious tonight to know that we have before us. Reward is certain. Responsible to all men we are. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. We have an opportunity and an obligation to this entire world. We have a tremendous opportunity and obligation to the folks that are members of this body of Christ. Well, just some thoughts here tonight, serious thoughts tonight. I hope we've been encouraged.